Welcome to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Christ Cathedral in the Diocese of Orange. And we are, as always, excited to be with you with two of our favorite guests, Marianne Greco, my wife of 45 years. Welcome, Marianne.
Hi, it's great to be here.
And Katie Hughes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's right. That's right. After Easter, right? You can say hallelujah. Both Katie and Marianne are executives within our team at Spirit-Filled Hearts, our ministry. You can check us out at spiritfilledhearts.org. All one word, Spirit-Filled Hearts. And today we're going to talk about something very, very exciting and near and dear to our hearts. And that is transformation through pilgrimages. You know, a number of years ago, Marianne, you know, the Lord really came to us and said that he wanted to help educate us, have us get closer to him by experiencing pilgrimages. And do you remember that time in our lives?
Well, yes. I just, you know, felt like I wanted to go on a pilgrimage. And sometimes that's kind of scary, but we ended up going on one, and I'll never forget Father Jim Nesbitt, who was the priest who was organizing it, said to me, maybe someday you'll be leading these. And I just kind of laughed, right? And, you know, it was very prophetic of him.
My brothers and sisters, here on Empowered by the Spirit, we sponsor pilgrimages, and you can check us out, and we can give you more information on our trip to the Holy Land, which is coming up September 24th through October 4th. You contact us at Marianne,
M-A-R-Y-A-N-N-E, at spiritfilledhearts.org.
Yes, and contact us, because every single time that we go on a pilgrimage, all of us, including ourselves, are transformed. And Katie, how many pilgrimages? Well, you've been on a lot of different trips for sure, pilgrimages and missions and so forth, but roughly how many have you been on?
I think with the Spirit-Filled Hearts, I've been on four, maybe five, and I've done probably about eight total.
So my brothers and sisters, the question is, why should you go on a pilgrimage? And that's really the answer, the question, I think, Marianne, to you, is that as our listeners listen in here, you know, they get all kinds of things thrown their way. And for many, many people, they just go, well, the timing's just not right, or, you know, the money situation, whatever it might be. But why is it so important in terms of our spiritual growth to go on a pilgrimage?
Well, I think it's important, Steve, to define a pilgrimage as much different than just going on a trip to the Holy Land or to Greece or wherever you're going. But a pilgrimage is really setting aside time to really to pray, to get involved into Scripture, and to really let the Lord speak to you as you're on the trip, and even before the trip, to prepare yourself. So it's important that we take that time. And yes, you can do that at home, but there's something about being in the physical location of something spiritual that really can touch our inner soul and speak to us and allow God to speak to us in a very powerful way.
Katie, from a standpoint of being a pilgrim versus a tourist, what's the difference, and how has it made a difference in your spiritual walk?
I think for me, going on a pilgrimage is becoming closer to Christ, to develop a deeper relationship and understanding, and my faith to enhance it and to help me evangelize and to share the good news that God loves us so much, and he's spread himself in different ways through his mother, through the saints, and what they've done in their walk to serve God with their perfect love. And for me, my goal is to one day have a perfect love for Christ. And these pilgrimages, if you want it, it happens.
Yeah, amen to that. And there's a pilgrim's prayer, and Marianne makes these booklets, and One I'm looking at right now is Following the Footsteps of Jesus, which is to the Holy Land. We also have Following the Footsteps of St. Paul to Greece and Turkey. We've had a number of pilgrimages there, as well as Marian pilgrimages to Medjugorje, Lourdes, and we've had pilgrimages to Italy. But our number one area is to the Holy Land. And as this pilgrim's prayer talks about, it says, Lord, may I remember that I am a pilgrim and not a tourist. If things don't happen as they're scheduled, if I get tired, short-tempered, if there's something that isn't working out the way I want it to, that, you know, I am a pilgrim. And a pilgrim, as we say this for our trips, it is substantially different than being a tourist.
Absolutely.
So my brothers and sisters, the reason we're doing this show, we definitely want to talk about our trip to the Holy Land, but we're really encouraging you to find a way, instead of just a normal tourist vacation, to go on some pilgrimage. And there's so many different companies and so many different pilgrimages and so many different areas. We obviously really feel partial towards ours because we put our heart and soul into it, and we know that there is transformation that happens. But one of the important things is that every single thing we do, we put Jesus at the center of it. And so we wake up and we go into prayer, right, Katie? And we talk about, in fact, we ask people, what day is it today? And they say, oh, it's Monday, it's Tuesday, but what day is it today?
This is the day.
This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. Let us rejoice. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Okay. So we don't want anybody turning off the dial here. But one of the things that's important is that we go into song. We go into teachings when we're on the bus. And we go into different types of prayer. You know, we talk about and pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet. We pray the Rosary. We pray the Hours. We pray other different types of prayer.
We give people all different kinds of experiences in their prayer. And, you know, Steve, I think one of the reasons why we keep doing it is because we have seen people whose lives have been transformed as a result of this. They go thinking, oh, I'm just going on a trip. And they end up becoming a real pilgrim and really getting transformed and closer to the Lord. We've seen people who have become Catholic as a result of this. We've seen people who bring a daughter or a spouse who wasn't that close or didn't go to church, all of a sudden is going to church. We've seen people who start going to daily Mass as a result of this. So it's an opportunity to just grow in so many ways. And the Lord calls each person, and He knows exactly where we need to grow.
So my brothers and sisters, is the Lord calling you to go to the Holy Land or calling you to go on a particular pilgrimage? And we're going to pray for you that you say yes to whatever that call is. The other thing Marianne said, which is so critical, I can't tell you how exciting it is when you go to these various churches, to go to the Church of Nativity, to go where Jesus was born, to go to the Church of Holy Sepulchre.
You know, when I stepped out the airplane, I just felt like, oh, this is my spiritual roots. I couldn't explain it. It was just feeling like, I'm here. This is where my spiritual, you know, my faith begins.
I know for me, when I go to the Church of the Annunciation in Nazareth, every single time I get tears in my eyes where the angel Gabriel appeared. And one of the things that's so important, too, is in Quran, the church there, which is where Elizabeth met Mary, and the Hail Mary, in a sense, was started right there. But you just feel the grace, the Holy Spirit. You feel the Blessed Mother's presence, Jesus' presence.
Well, you see the well in that town where Mary probably met Elizabeth, or we know they at least went to that well to gather water. And so you're walking in the very footsteps of these people, and it's just become so real. I get tears after I get back. The first time, especially, every time I heard the gospel being read, it was just, I could visualize it, and it was very emotional to know that, you know, I stood there where this happened.
Katie, from a standpoint of being transformed, which is our title here, Transformation Through Pilgrimages, you know, how does that happen as you attend these this daily mass and these incredibly spiritual places? What happens in terms of transformation as you do that?
I think you become part of the Word. You become part of that place where Jesus was. So if we're talking about the Holy Land, where his mother wept at the cross, where Jesus wept to the point of perspiring blood. When you go to the place where he called Peter, where Peter denied him, where Judas, you go to the place where they were for the Last Supper, and where Judas was told, go and do what you were going to go do. Go betray me, you know?
My brothers and sisters, this is an amazing experience to go on a pilgrimage in which you put Jesus at the center of it, and particularly the Holy Land. We're going to go through the itinerary that we have on September 24th of this year so you can get just a flavor of how incredible this is. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit. We'll be right back.
Would you like an opportunity to read and discuss inspiring books by bright Catholic authors? The OC Catholic Book Club offers quarterly book titles reviewed and chosen by Bishop Kevin Vann. Every 3 months, members gather to meet the author and hear informed commentary about the book by local church scholars. Membership in the OC Catholic Book Club includes 4 books and tickets to the author forums. For more information, visit occatholic.com/oc-catholic-book-club or call 714-282-3045.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're back here on Empowered by the Spirit in beautiful Christ Cathedral with Marianne Greco and Katie Hughes, two evangelists and two of our leaders in Spirit-Filled Hearts. And we're talking about transformation through pilgrimage, and in particular, our trip coming up September 24th to October 4th to the Holy Land. This will be our 5th time there, and each time we experience it, it's almost like it's the very first time.
Right.
It's an amazing experience. And one thing that we're doing, we're flying into Tel Aviv. We're arriving at the airport, and the very first thing we do is we go to St. Peter's Church in Jaffa, which was home of the miracle. What miracle was that, Marianne?
Where Dorcas was raised from the dead.
Yeah.
Or Tabitha.
When Tabitha.
Same name.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, you're getting real technical with us.
Yeah.
From raised from the dead. It's right there in the beautiful sea. And immediately as we experience that, we get into this land where miracles are really second nature, you know, and we see so many miracles on the trip itself. We see so many amazing things happen. An example is I prayed over a woman who came and had dislocated shoulder. And I knew in my heart of hearts through a word of knowledge that God really wanted to heal her. And I said, do you want to be healed? And she said, yes. And similar to when we go to St. Anne's by the Pool of Bethesda, in which Jesus asked the cripple there, do you want to be healed? And he said, yes. And the woman says, yes. And we prayed over her, and she was instantly healed of her separated shoulder. We see so many healings and miracles when we go on these trips, because we really, really believe. So first step is there in Jaffa. And then from there, we go up to Tiberias and we stay at a 5-star hotel. And we go to the next day,
right on the Sea of Galilee,
which is amazing. And that night, the very first night, we pray over everyone with the water of Galilee, and that water that, you know, and some of the stones and so forth.
We run down and we put our feet in the Sea of Galilee is one of the first things we do. It's really
And we pour water over their head and we pray for this transformation. And the first time that happened to you, Katie, what was your feeling as you were prayed over there in the Sea of Galilee that first real night there in Israel?
I think I felt in communion with all of the other pilgrims. We were all there for different reasons. The calling, God has a special calling for each one of us. And I felt that Christ wanted to begin this pilgrimage with a prayer in this water, in this holy place, and that that he chose and deemed as the place to start his ministry. And so being in that place, being in that water, being with these people who are excited, not knowing what to expect, and then just letting the Holy Spirit descend upon us as we pray for healing for each person, for their intentions. People are there for because of family problems. They want to get closer to God. They want to know what God wants for them. What is the plan for them? And so we're there to intercede for one another. And that first night is really special.
And everyone laying hands on one another. The next day, we're right there in the whole Galilean area, right by Capernaum, and everything is so close. But one of the highlights already is to go to the Mount of Beatitudes, where Jesus had the Sermon on the Mount. And there is an amazing, amazing church there where we'll have Mass. And you just have so much tranquility. And plus you learn that Jesus was not on the top of the hill, but more than likely what theologians believe was at the bottom of the hill, because the wind would come up and literally take your voice to the very top.
The location we are, though, is on the church is on the top of the hill. So we're looking down and seeing this slope and seeing it go into the Sea of Galilee. And it's such a beautiful, peaceful, serene spot. And you start to put yourself, you know, into that scene. And I could be sitting there on the hillside listening.
And you can literally feel Matthew 5 and the scriptures come alive. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. And on and on. And in this church, there's eight sides representing the eight sides or eight Beatitudes. And acoustically, these churches are amazing. And one time we went in there and a group from France was there and they were singing Ave Maria. They were singing songs in French. And it was just like you felt like you were in heaven.
That's another thing. You run into people from all over the world and it's so touching. You think these are pilgrims from all over the world that are coming to learn and become closer to the Lord. And there's just something really of value of that. You know, I do encourage our listeners, if you can't make it on a trip, there's ways of kind of putting yourself in the picture. And you can go online and just Google some of these places and see what they look like and put yourself into the picture and start meditating on the scripture that happened there.
And contact us at marianne@spiritfulhearts.org. This is Deacon Steve at spiritfulhearts.org for information regarding any of our pilgrimages, but this one in particular, September 24th to October 4th. It's very economically priced. It's absolutely amazing. So where else in the Galilee area do we go, Marianne?
One of my favorites is the little town of Capernaum. This is where Jesus started his ministry. This is where Peter had his mother-in-law, stayed at his mother-in-law's house. And you get out and you realize that the synagogue in which Jesus shared and talked is just like footsteps away from Peter's mother-in-law's house. And that is just some more footsteps away from the shoreline. So you really get a feel for the little town where Jesus spent a lot of his time. He centered, that was kind of the nucleus where he lived and went out from there during a lot of his ministry. And of course, there were great healings in Peter's mother-in-law's house.
You know, one of the things you had said too, and again, we'll go to Mass at one of these places along the lines here, and there's a lot of different choices there. One time we did go to Mass right there in the church right above where Peter's mother-in-law was healed.
Mm-hmm. And then one time we stopped and we sang songs in the synagogue.
Absolutely, absolutely.
The town has many ruins or diggings that they've had. And so you get to see actually walk in the synagogue like Jesus did. And it was really, you know, really powerful to know that this is the town where Jesus walked around. He talked to people. They talked to him. He healed people. And so you start to get the feeling of what it was like for this Jesus and what it was like to be a disciple of his and what it was like to hear his stories. One of the things that hits me a lot is that there are rocks all over Israel. And so often, you know, we have stories that relate to rocks or farming and things. And you can really, when you see the terrain, you can really understand why Jesus used those parables to teach.
You know, and we read the scripture in the synagogue. And for example, Luke 4:31, that Jesus went to the town of Capernaum and he taught them on the Sabbath. He spoke with authority. There was a man with a spirit of unclean demon. He cried out in a loud voice, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him and he said, "Be quiet, come out of him." So we have that story. And again, the story of after he left the synagogue, and you can see it's within footsteps, he entered the house of Simon, Simon's mother-in-law, who had a fever. And again, he prayed over her, interceded with her, and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And then further healings again
in
Capernaum.
They lowered the man from the roof down into the household.
So, you know, it's one thing after another in which we have these healings. But we go, you know, the next day up to the Mount of Transfiguration too, which is also pretty amazing because you take a little tiny bus up there because the road is so narrow.
And steep.
And you go up there again where Jesus was transformed. And you're up at this beautiful church and you see one chapel with Moses, another chapel with Elijah. And we read the scripture. And Katie, it's about ourselves saying, "Lord, I give you all that I have to be transformed."
Yes, our journey, this pilgrimage in life, it runs parallel with this pilgrimage with Christ in the Holy Land. And when you hear the story of Jesus and being transformed and being this bright white light, blinding, it is only by God's grace that anyone could stand it. Because it is God's presence, his light. And that's what Jesus wants. He wants us to be his light. And it's a beautiful place to go where you just see you can see the whole valley. You can see all the different areas where the first pilgrims, I would say, the Holy Land, the children of Abraham came in. And you get to hear the history. We have a great tour guide who tells us a lot of the Jewish history. And you know how they were transformed through coming to the Holy Land and how we're there to be transformed by Christ's love through his Holy Spirit.
You know, it's such a steep path. I think it had to take them quite a while to get up that mountain. And then I think, what was the conversation like after they saw Jesus in the Transfiguration and after they saw Moses and Elijah? What was the conversation? Because they had a long walk down the hill, too. And so I think, you know, what did they talk to Jesus about? What were their questions? And those are times that we can take pauses in our life to ask, what is Jesus asking of me? Mm-hmm. What does this mean to me, this experience?
My brothers and sisters, we're empowered by the Spirit. We're talking about being transformed through pilgrimages. And one particular pilgrimage that we have coming up on Spirit-Filled Hearts, September 24th to October 4th, and this is going to be amazing. You can contact us at marianne@spiritfilledhearts.org. We're going to be right back to talk more about a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're back here, beautiful Christ Cathedral, on Empowered by the Spirit, with Marianne Greco and Katie Hughes. We're talking about transformation through pilgrimages, and we're kind of walking along a pilgrimage here that we're going September 24th to October 4th to the Holy Land. And you can contact us at marianne@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's Marianne with an E at spiritfilledhearts.org for more information. And you can go with us. This will be our fifth time. We've been on about 12 different pilgrimages to various locations, various holy sites, but the Holy Land is our favorite. And one of the favorite parts of it, too, is going to Cana, which is really neat, especially for those that are coming as husband and wife, to renew their vows there. And part of what I love about Cana is seeing facsimiles of the water jars and seeing how incredibly huge they are.
They were actually found in the site. They can't prove that they were the ones that Jesus used, but they were in the same time frame, and they found them at the site. So it's really exciting to see the jugs that they dug up archaeologically.
You know, and I think as you look at this, you know, you may say to yourself, well, you know, what's the big deal? But the amazing thing about it was 6 stone water jars. It says in the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verse 5 and following, where the Blessed Mother says to, talks to Jesus, and then tells the servers, do whatever he tells you to do, that 6 stone water jugs were there for Jewish ceremonial washings, each holding 20 to 30 gallons.
It's a lot of wine.
And so there's 6 of these things, potentially up to 180 gallons of water that would turn into
a party.
That's what I call a party. You know, and to be there and to experience that and to taste the local wine, and if that's, you know, something you want to do, and just to really have, again, a renewal of the vows is really special.
Yeah, I think, you know, just thinking about this is where Jesus performed his first miracle that we know of in the scripture. And so this is, you know, this is really a special little town. I love it. It's just a little town. We want to walk through the narrow streets and kind of get the feeling of how Jesus was walking to this wedding. And it's a wonderful experience.
From there, we go to Nazareth. And to be in Nazareth, to be there in the town, in those hills where Jesus grew up.
It is in the hills. Yes.
And to walk that ground on the Church of the Annunciation is absolutely amazing. And as you go inside...
Well, a lot of these churches are built over holy sites in the first place. And kind of the history, I think it's important to know that, you know, we keep talking about churches, but what happens is they're holy sites, so they build churches over them. And then you usually go underneath the church to see the original site.
And you certainly go underneath and you see all of these original archaeological digs that they've had to really come closer to the original site.
And we actually get to see the home where they believe Mary lived, which is a cave.
They
all started with caves, and then they built their houses out from that.
Which was amazing. And then there's these mosaics, Katie. You know, as you walk in there from all these different countries, what does that mean to you when you see that?
I think Mary comes to us where we're at, just like Jesus does. And she travels all over the world, bringing the good news of Jesus, the love of Jesus. And she comes in the cultural background of the people so they can understand her beauty, understand what she's saying to them by what she wears and how she's clothed and what's in the background of these mosaics and how intricate they are and how everyone in the world loves Mary. And, you know, every country has a depiction of her. It's just beautiful. Everyone has their favorites, I think. You know, the ones from South America are so beautiful. From the Asian countries, where sometimes we don't realize they love Mary too, and how beautifully they depict her, our Blessed Mother, and how beautiful she is.
Well, look at Vietnam, right? You know, and just every place around the world, Africa, and obviously Our Lady of Guadalupe, right?
Yeah.
You know, which is really a highlight. But each of the countries, again, have a mosaic depicting the Blessed Mother, which is absolutely amazing. Again, it takes your breath away. And we have Mass there. Again, this is a pilgrimage that we'll be leading September 24th to October 4th. Contact us at Marianne with an E at spiritfulhearts.org. From there, we then go down south the next day to Masada, which is, again, a historical site where there was, I believe, 700 that were killed, committed suicide, after being besieged by, I believe it was like up to 2 years by the Romans. But we also pass Qumran, where the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered, Sodom and Gomorrah, and we take a look at the Dead Sea. And we have Mass where Lazarus was raised from the dead and actually walked down into that tomb. So it's yet another amazing day.
Yeah, we have busy days, but we pack it in, and yet we have time to sit and reflect and think, what does this mean? And, just to see Masada isn't necessarily a religious, and it's not in the Bible, but it was a fort that King Herod built for himself, a palace, an escape place. And so it is biblically mentioned or in there, but we are able to see the Dead Sea from there, which is where Queen Sheba came for health reasons, and King Herod came. A lot of people, through Cleopatra even, came to the Dead Sea, and it's the lowest point in the world. So we get to experience that and take that in as well.
I think it's important to also highlight during the pilgrimages, we're there to get closer to Jesus, and we're also there to have fun. And we have some fun experiences. If you've ever wanted to ride a camel or ever wanted to experience the Dead Sea and have the extreme weird feeling of floating and not in the Dead Sea, it's just a great experience. So there's a lot that goes on spiritually, and we have a great time.
And Katie even gave herself a mud bath when she's there. Mud that they have in the Dead Sea mm-hmm. is quite healing. That's why Queen Sheba came. Mm-hmm. And Katie, I saw you in there with all the mud all over. It was a great experience.
It was fun. Yeah.
And in the evenings, we also have fun. I mean, the meals are absolutely incredible, right? The
great
buffets
foods.
And everything. But in the evenings, we often will have prayer meetings, or testimonials, or, you know, some sort of
time
a
for reflection.
Yeah, reflections and so forth.
We love to hear the stories of the pilgrims. What did God say to you today? Or what was your experience? Because every day someone has some sort of spiritual experience.
And some kind of a miracle. You know, we've had people who have been sick with the flu. We pray over them. One was a doctor who really thought she had to be hospitalized, and we prayed over her, and the flu just broke immediately. And just miracle after miracle. And one of the great, for me, the concept of miracle, which is really seeing the presence of God in a very unique way, is when we go to Church of Nativity in Bethlehem. For the first time on this pilgrimage that we're going on, September 24th to October 4th, contact us again at marianne@spiritfulhearts.org. But for the first time, we'll be staying in Bethlehem.
Mm-hmm.
We've never stayed in Bethlehem before, right across the street from Manger Square. And so we'll have a lot more time in Bethlehem. Often it's kind of rushed to get in and out because you don't stay there. But we are going to stay there two nights, so we'll be able to see Shepherd's Field. We'll be able to spend a lot of time in the Church of Nativity, which just takes your breath away. Mm-hmm. We have Mass right there. We have the Christmas Day Mass, which is done 365 days a year, celebrated.
Mm-hmm.
It's just absolutely amazing.
Of course, my favorite place is really just to kneel down and touch the very spot that they believe that Jesus was born. It just takes your
breath away. And we've been there when they've had incense and special ceremonies and so forth. But
people
from all
over the world come,
yeah.
And you see people,
amazing.
And you know, you think we're all coming to praise God and to be part of this. And it makes you realize we're part of a big church.
So. After we leave Bethlehem, we go to the Church of St. Anne's, which is acoustically absolutely amazing. I've never been in a better acoustic environment in my entire life.
The Church of St. Anne's was built over the home of St. Anne, Mary's mother, and so we believe that's where Mary was born. And it's right in the center of the old city of Jerusalem.
And right across from the Pool of Bethesda, where Jesus cured an invalid in John 5, absolutely amazing experience, you know, as we go on. So from there, we have a quite great experience in taking the Palm Sunday route. So we start up on the Mount of Olives and we walk down into Jerusalem.
We walk down through the valley and into the old city.
Which is the same route that Jesus took. And so you're there experiencing that. We're reading the scriptures. We often are praying rosaries. We're doing all those things. And so, my brothers and sisters, we're encouraging you to go on a pilgrimage, any pilgrimage. You know, and I know some people say, I don't have time or I don't have the money. but find a way of doing it. And I really believe if you want to, that God will help you get there. And if you can, go on our pilgrimage, September 24th to October 4th. Contact us at marianne@spiritfulhearts.org. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit. We'll be right back to talk more about this pilgrimage to the Holy Land.
The Diocese of Orange is partnered with local travel company, Travel of Orange, to assist in organizing and facilitating pilgrimages to Catholic shrines, churches, and inspiring destinations worldwide. Find out about discounted travel rates, personal service, and customized travel experiences at key religious sites. Call 877-538-0010 or visit travel.occatholic.com to learn more. That's 877-538-0010 or travel.occatholic.com.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're back here on Empowered by the Spirit. We've been talking about being transformed through pilgrimages, and one that we have coming up September 24th through October 4th. Contact us at marianne@spiritfulhearts.org, Marianne with an E. And we were just going through the incredible walking down from the Mount of Olives into Jerusalem, into the Golden Gate, in a sense, and being able to experience all of that, and seeing incredible grave sites and so forth, where the Jews believe that the Messiah is going to come back, and they want to be close to where the Messiah comes, and just one thing after another in terms of just the how magnificent it is and how transforming it is. And
the Mount of Olives has an incredible view of looking into the Temple Mount and the Old City. And I think, Katie, you have a...
Yes, they're at the top of the hill. There's this tiny chapel, and it's called Dominus Flevit, and it is the place where Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem because of his great sorrow that they had rejected, and that it's the beginning of his passion. It was the beginning of heading into Palm Sunday, where they rejoice over him, and not soon after, you know, they turn him over.
Amen. And that really leads us to one of the most incredible experiences, and of which there are so many, is the Garden of Gethsemane and the church there of all nations. And when you experience Mass, which we will have over the rock where they believe that Jesus wept, it is an unbelievable experience. And praying there in that church, praying over the rock, putting things on the rock.
We get to touch that rock.
I mean, you're literally, you know, right next to it. I mean, we're right on it.
That's always one of my favorites, I think, because it's like, it's real. It's something tangible I can touch. And I say, this is what Jesus died for, so that we could all gather around and praise him and be part of the church here.
And one of the trips, we had someone who was a botanist and was an expert as it relates to trees and plants and so forth. And he said the trees, the olive trees there in the garden,
some of them they know are over 2,000 years.
Over 2,000. And some of them literally could be experiencing, in a sense, the same kind of air that Jesus breathed, and literally some of the same trees. And so it's just an amazing experience to be there in that garden, and to experience that. And as we go on from there, one of the incredible experiences is to do the Stations of the Cross. And so we literally take a cross, and all of us take turns carrying it along this route of the original stations, my brothers and sisters, original stations, and the types of things going on in which we're passing busy shops and so forth. And you knew when Jesus was walking on the route to Calvary, it wasn't like he was alone. You know, there's all kinds of people.
They
around.
Didn't all stop their business either.
Yeah. And so, you know, what did that mean to you, Katie, as you were doing the stations in the original locations?
Again, it's walking in the shoes of Christ, walking in the shoes of the women who were devoted to Jesus, walking in the shoes of and putting our putting ourselves in the place of his disciples, and also the people that the persecutors who were there, you know, looking on, and the Roman soldiers, like, how could they not be transformed? God is right before them, humbling himself to death. And so it's definitely an emotional and spiritual journey. And I think it's really important before you start it is, Lord, share with me, you know, your trial. Lord, share with me your cross. And Lord, thank you for helping me carry my cross and carrying it unto death.
And then when you go into the last few stations, which, of course, are in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, and where you go to literally Calgary, and you're right there, and
we get to kneel and touch the rock where he died.
You touch that rock. It's just, again, transforming. And from there, you go down to the empty tomb. You also, where his body was laid. And again, that's when you also experience the upper room.
They just recently redid that tomb, and they found, when they opened it up, there was another layer, and they actually found the stone where they laid Jesus under there. So I'm excited because they've added, revealed a few things and made it new. So I'm excited to see that.
And speaking of a transformation, I want to go back to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in a minute, but fairly recently, within the last 2 years, they opened up the River Jordan in Jordan, where they believe that Jesus was actually baptized, the spot where John the Baptist baptized Jesus. And we went there for the first time on our last trip, a little over a year ago. And that's an amazing experience right there, too.
Right. Yeah. To be able to see the Jordan and stick your feet in it. And
I thought it was a great witness because there were people with great faith, a Christian faith, different denominations, and we're not sure who, but they were coming to be baptized, and someone was praising God, playing their guitar, singing a Chris Tomlin song. A man was being rolled into, by his wheelchair, rolled into the water, being baptized. And so they say geographically, that's the place described. And it's just, these people are coming. They love Jesus. They want to be a part of his church. And we are part of the Church of Jesus Christ.
And it is so transforming, again, to go to the River Jordan, to go to the Church, the Holy Sepulchre, to go to those kind of places. And also, you know, a very, very famous place for the Jews, the Western Wall, where you're able to put prayers into the wall. That's also very special that we do on this
A lot of prayers
day.
Have been said. That's the remaining part of the temple, and the Jews use that as a prayer place, and we can take our own prayers and put them in the wall.
And there's a free day, too, that we have, the last full day.
To visit our favorite spots.
The visit, go back to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, or go back to various locations that we really enjoy to meditate, to pray, just experience it. And there's so much new that's constantly happening, because they constantly are finding new things or continuing their digs and so
forth. They say the more they dig up, the more they find the Bible is true. You know, it's just everything that they find is just telling us.
And so that's certainly for those of you who have been before. And one of the things, you know, and I have to say it, everyone, of course, has their priorities. But this is a bucket list for so many people. And if this is on your bucket list, go on this tour. Go on this tour. September 24th to October 4th. Contact us at marianne@spiritfilledhearts.org. I guarantee we have never had anybody say, oh, boy, I'm really disappointed I went.
No.
And we've had people who have been several times before, because every time it's a new experience. The Holy Land is not someplace you go to once. I can't begin to emphasize that. This is a place where every single time you're transformed. It's like saying, oh, I've read the Bible. I don't need to hear it again. You know,
right.
How about every time you hear various scriptures in the Bible, do they not mean something slightly different to you in terms of where you are in your journey right then? Mm-hmm. So that's what the Holy Land is. It really provides a unique experience every single time, no matter how many times you've been. But so many people have it on their bucket list, like our engineer, Jim, who wants to go. And we're going to twist his arm and pray that he gets to go on this trip, September 24th to October 4th. And if you're one of those people, I can't think of a better trip to go on than this trip. So I want to thank everyone for listening on this particular show and to pray about what it means in terms of what God is calling you to do to be transformed into his image. During the Easter season, it is about rejoicing. It is about rejoicing about the risen Christ. It is about taking on as his ambassador to be the arms, the eyes, the ears, the heart of Jesus. And when you're in the Holy Land, scriptures come alive for you, and you're able to do it that much more. So, Marianne, thank you for being on the show. And Katie, thank you for being on the show again.
Thank you, and God bless.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you and praise you for the opportunity to say yes to you in all that we do. We pray that you open the doors that only you can open for our listening audience to go on any pilgrimage that you are directing them to, but certainly to consider going on the footsteps of Jesus in the Holy Land pilgrimage that we are leading September 24th to October 4th. And we ask, Lord God, that they say yes to the pilgrimage and an opportunity to go on any pilgrimage which is going to transform them into your image. We pray blessings and healings spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically through the power of your love, the power of your Holy Spirit, the intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary and the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And I bless you in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
God bless you. We'll be with you next week at the same time.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Immaculate Heart Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For more information about Spirit-Filled Hearts, visit our website, spiritfilledhearts.org. That's spiritfilledhearts.org. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We hope you'll tell a friend about our program and ask them to join us next week at this same time. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio.